Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Little background before we land in the boat this morning. Jesus, shortly prior to this, stepped out into the wilderness. That's where he got tempted by Satan. After that, he immediately starts his ministry from there, which begins with the Spirit empowering him. Then he goes into the synagogues, teaching about the kingdom of God, now at hand, and the people are now glorifying him. After that, he's exorcising demons, healing many. And oh yeah, one of those healings just happened to be Simon Peter's mother-in-law. So, in case you were wondering why fisherman Pete didn't have a problem with Jesus just randomly stepping into his boat without even asking, know that Peter already met Jesus by this point. Now, Jesus got into the boat because the crowds, well, were pressing into him to hear the word of God. It's kind of hard to hear if you're not sitting in the front row, because back then they didn't have microphones yet, like I have. So Jesus is initially getting into the boat on the Sea of Galilee because the surrounding landscape helped act as a great megaphone so that the people could hear him from the boat better. But also because Jesus probably needed some space. He needed a break from all the FaceTime. But at the same time, in all seriousness, he had a dual mission to perform. Because he all of a sudden gives his attention to Peter in the fishing boat that he's now sitting in. He looks over, sees some guys washing their nets, and that's because it's daytime. They fished at night because that's when the fish rise to the surface of the water. Very practical reasons. And in the daytime, as the sun comes out and starts shining, the fish go all the way to the bottom. Hard to catch. So after the sermon of the day by Jesus, Jesus gives Simon Peter an order to put your nets out into the deep for a catch. Now, you have to ask, who is better at fishing and fishing techniques? A preacher or a commercial fisherman? Exactly. So Peter nicely, respectfully tells Jesus, but we worked all night and have caught nothing. But notice first, Peter calls Jesus master. It's the word for commander there, like a ship's captain, simply because Jesus had given him an order. But Simon Peter, remember, already knew who Jesus was by now. He had eyewitnessed some of his miracles already, and thus he says back, "But at your word, I will let down the nets." At the word. That's an important phrase right there, highlight in your Bibles. At the word of Jesus, they do it, and caught so many fish, their nets were now breaking. So much that they had to call for help from their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And then what happens? The boats begin to sink. Peter starts yelling, "We're sinking! Put some of the fish back into the water!" Nope. He doesn't say that at all. What he does do is fall down at Jesus' knees. And he begins the church service in the boat with the confession and absolution part of the divine service, telling the Christ, "O Lord," not master this time, but Kyrios, Lord. Because Peter, as a practicing Jew, knows and confesses that he knows only God has authority over the depths of the seas. He knows what is known as the Sailor Psalms. That's Psalms 33, 89, and 107. That he, God, commands the waves and the seas. That he rules the raging sea. and he gathers the waters as a heap. And when you know that you are in the presence of God, you begin to see the massive gap in your life. Thus, Peter feels completely unworthy to be in his presence. Oh, the weight of holiness. When you finally realize how empty your nets truly are, hear this. That is exactly why you came here today, to hear the absolution, the word from the deep. Jesus doesn't say to Peter, "Yeah, you're right. You are too dirty for me to be here." No, he simply says, "Do not be afraid. I have stepped into the boat to take away the messiness." And from now on, he tells Peter and James and John, who were with him, "From now on, you will be catching men." The first call of the disciples. And when they brought the boats to land, they left everything and followed him. What happened to the fish? I don't know. Somebody ate them or took them to the market. But the point is, the unworthiness that Peter felt is exactly what made him ready to be a disciple. And yes, this call is directly directed at the disciples to become ministers of the word, but it speaks to all God's fish who rest purely on the word, trusting that no matter the cave you are in, nor how deep into it you think you've got it, that it only takes a small word from the Lord to anoint you, to clean you, and cause you to rise up and go. But speaking of the deep and of sailors, there once was this calm, sunny day where I happened to be out in the Atlantic Ocean with the Coast Guard cutter Vigilant, where the captain of our boat, where we had been out for weeks in the deep, out on patrol, decided it was time for the crew to get some much-needed morale and to have a swim call. But mind you, this wasn't like we were next to West Palm Beach. I was stationed out of Florida. We're not by the beach, folks. This is way out to sea. It was somewhere in the greater Antilles seas between Tortuga and the Dominican Republic. So imagine that. But the captain has to give the command to the engineering officer to stop the boat, come to a dead stop in the water so that the crew can have a swim. It's not no free-for-all. Take some strategic planning and some safety measures. We could only jump in the water from the flight deck. We had a helicopter landing pad, and that was about 15 feet above the waterline. So when you jump off like a diving board into the deep end, usually, you know, like 10-foot pools, you probably know that when you do that, even from 10 feet, you go all the way down to the bottom. Then you have to dart yourself upwards to get back to the surface. Well, when you're 19 or 20 years old and out to sea, you don't think of things like that. So I muster up with the crew who wanted to be so daring, but I decided to jump feet first. Did think about that. Said, yes, I'm going to jump out as far as I can, but just like the swimming pool scenario, when you jump from that high, you go pretty far down in the water. And the ocean floor is way deeper than 10 feet. You cannot see the bottom. And let me tell you, it does get dark down there. Pitch black, actually. But thank goodness it was a clear sunny day, because I had to get my bearings and look for the lights so that I could swim up and get my head out of the water. But now the next thing I was thinking was kind of a little scary, because I never experienced that before. Now I can say I have. So I swim back to the boat. There's guys over there to help you up. They got some net ladders over the side, or Jacob's ladder you had to climb back on to get on the ship safely. I said, though, I'm not going to do another jump. Yeah, that was enough. I experienced it. But you know peer pressure, right? So I get back up to the flight deck, but this time I notice something. All of a sudden, there's two small boats from our vessel. We had little go-to boats. Captain said to put those in the water. I didn't see them at first. And they have a boat crew in them, manning them. They're just going slow around us, seemed to be just where we were swimming. And I'm wondering, okay, maybe that's in case somebody needs rescued for some odd reason. Until I look closer and see there's two guys, one on each of the small boats, holding up an M16 rifle. And I was like, what's up with that? Well, come to find out, the purpose of them was that they were on shark watch. And that's when I made the easy decision that I was not getting back in the water that day. They had to have two machine guns at the ready, monitoring the space around us. And O-H-E-L-L, no, I was not going back. The darkness in the deep was one thing, but now this, I didn't trust the situation. But it makes me wonder, how did Peter, James, and John get their nets that far down in the deep that Jesus told them to? They weren't that long of nets. Because remember, they only fished at night. So the fish went up to the surface. It was an easy catch. Yes, this whole matter is deep. Though what made it happen was not the nets. It was the word. Jesus asked them to do an impossible task. But at his word, do you think the fishies came? Yes. King David wrote another psalm, and in it he penned that deep calls to deep. Yes, indeed, he does. This is my son, whom I am well pleased. God incarnate, now present, now calling to that deep. And though Peter was afraid, Jesus had to watch and said, do not be afraid. I am preparing you for much more than a swim call or a catch of fish. From now on, you are to gather people to my word, just like you just experienced. And through all their trials and tribulations, the apostles eventually did that. They did have to toil with much in that ministry. They had hard times, but they remembered the deep. They trusted the word would do its thing. Though the word die, he cannot die. And though the word be buried in the deep, so too shall the word arise and go forth unending. So too shall it gather other men, though it ever seemed like a small number, like Elijah was thinking. But I'm the only one left, Lord. The Lord said, and it happened. You remember the word, the whisper. But folks, listen, I can't make anyone or force anyone to believe. I'm not that clever. And to tell you the truth, I'm not even good at fishing. I have a hard time even tying the knot on the fish hook. I wasn't a deckhand. I worked in the engine room where we didn't have to know how to tie knots. We did need to know how to change the oil in the generator, so. But what I do know is that the preacher can cast the net of the word, and it works in the deep. It brings up who is Lord and Master. Not to make you afraid, but to let you know that he already is your Lord and Master when you catch nothing. He doesn't wait for you to prove you are ready to be in his presence. He comes to you, gets in the boat, and says, go to the deep side of things with me. The weight of holiness is with me. Let us now go to the shore so that you can follow me. And he does provide richly and daily all the needs to support our bodies and lives. He is the commander of the sea, and he knows when to give you rest when you are toiling. And when you're in the deep and don't even know what lurks around you, he will send his angels concerning you that the evil foe may have no power over you. They carry swords, though, not M16s. And for those youth here who are going to camp this week, may the Lord give you everything you need morning, noon, and night to see who gets in the boat, Jesus and His Word. Even when you're going about in freedom, listen to your guides, make friends, and hear the small whisper that He can provide for you when you need it most. Cast your nets means cast your cares into the deep. Do not be afraid. Jesus catches you, feeds you, and created all the lakes and waters that you may know who is in charge of them. God Himself in the flesh, our Master and Lord. He is the great fisherman, Lord of the waters. His weapon is His Word, and it surrounds you. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.